Well, good day, everybody. I'm going to do a little podcast today. This is kind of a repeat of a YouTube video that I had prior to the YouTube channel illegally being taken down, but we're working on that still. In case you guys didn't know, somebody was pretending to be other people and filed false copyright claims on my YouTube channel and successfully had it removed, and I actually need to hire an attorney to straighten this out. But anyway, all of this is over. What I'm about to talk about, you know, Gypsy told me. He told me, man, they're going to come at me, and they're going to come at me hard for this stuff that I'm about to tell you in this podcast. It's almost like people are in religious cults in this dog world sometimes. But anyway, so we're going to talk about some of the problems with predatory trained dogs when it comes to serious home defense. Guardian dogs, personal protection dogs. That this flies in the face of what's going on, because pretty much all that we see are dogs that are being trained while in prey drive to bite people. But basically, this training that we see all the time is actually attack training. And like I've said, there are practical, tactical, and legal reasons why a lot of this is a problem. So I want to talk about two different aspects. First of all, the nature of the dog, and then the nature of the training and some of the problems. So when it comes to prey drive and defensive drive, predatory drive and fight drive, whatever you want to call it, these are two very different states of minds driven by two different hormones and chemicals and all kinds of things that are going on inside the dog. There are also natural tendencies with each one of these drives. Just real quick, the bites are very different from predatory to fight. A predatory bite is kind of what we see, where the dog bites. It's a real deep bite in the back of the mouth, and the dog hangs on, right? Because this is simulating taking down game. A defensive bite is not going to be naturally out of that, is not going to be a clinging bite like that. This is going to be a bite that's more in the front of the mouth. It's actually a stronger bite, if you can believe that. There's a lot more force used, and the dog uses a lot more force when he's in defensive drive than when he does in predatory drive. So you're going to get a faster, harder, stronger bite out of a dog in defensive drive that's going to have a tendency not to latch on like we see. There's problems with that as well. The other thing is that naturally, in predatory drive, it's a silent activity. Hunting is a silence. You don't alarm, you don't bark, you don't growl, you don't alert your prey that you're about to take it. So this kind of flies in the face of our protocol and all of our tools that we have in defensive drive. And one of those, like most situations, can be handled with a threat display. A powerful, well-trained dog in serious defensive drive that's barking and growling takes care of most situations, literally does. So we're forfeiting and working against the natural tendencies of the dog when the dog is being put in predatory drive, in that the dog is going to be silent, generally speaking. All this is generalities. There's outliers, it's a bell curve, and there's exceptions to rules. But generally speaking, the dog is going to be, and for the reasons I'm saying, hunting, you try to be quiet. I just put silencers on my bowstrings. Whereas if you're trying to scare something away, the first thing you're going to want to do is sound an alarm, let your other teammates know there's something there, and then you offer a threat display. So that's another problem. The other thing with the bite is when a dog is in predatory drive, the bites tend to be low. The bites tend to be on whatever limb or whatever it is out front first, is what the dog tends to bite in a predatory mindset. Whereas in a defensive mindset, a dog generally jumps up for the face. This is real important for tactical reasons. We won't get into all that right now. But the dog tends to jump up for the face. this benefits us a great deal in disarming somebody, for sure. So all of these things are just the natural tendencies within the dogs while they're in these different states of mind that present some problems that lessen the abilities of our dog when we're training dogs in this predatory way. The other thing is that a dog that's in predatory dog, like I said, tends to latch on and kind of tend naturally not to pay attention to being struck. For example, if a dog is hunting and it grabs a pig or it grabs whatever it's grabbing, and that animal is thrashing about and it's kind of striking the animal, it's real important that the dog not let go of its grip so it can finish the kill. So there's a natural tendency for the dog to hang on even though it's being struck while the dog is in predatory drive. This is a problem for us because this tends to get dogs stabbed when they're fighting. This isn't hunting, this is fighting now, right? And when we talk about home invasions, 50% of home invasions don't involve a weapon, but the number one, by far, the number one weapon used in a home invasion is a knife, second by a blunt object, and a distant third a gun. So when you're teaching a dog a predatory type bite and working to, you know, to accent all of these things, you're setting up your dog to get its ass kicked and to get stabbed or bludgeoned. Happens all the time to police dogs. So these are just, this has nothing to do with training. This is just natural propensities and tendencies within these two different drives, different chemicals, different hormones, all of these things. Let's talk about one more thing, and that has to do with tenacity or commitment. Gypsy Stratton used to tell a really good story, Grandmaster Protection Dog Trainer Gypsy Stratton. And he kind of observed this on while watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom when he was a little boy. And you can learn a lot. But Gypsy was paying attention to how these animals were behaving. And one of the things that he noticed is that there's a lot less commitment in predatory drive than there is with defensive drive. And he told this little story. So there's a group of lions, and it's in the middle of the day, and it's really hot. So they're all underneath, laying around in a shade tree. They happen to be pretty hungry. They haven't eaten in a couple of days, and they've had several unsuccessful hunts. So they're actually hungry and could eat. Just so happens that an elk or an antelope or some sort of prey animal walks, doesn't see them underneath the tree, and walks in real close proximity of these hungry lions. And you would think that they will, because of their hunger, because of prey drive, predatory drive, you think that they would be motivated to take down this animal that's so easy to take down. But yet, lo and behold, we see them kind of seeing, oh man, it's so hot and it's so nice underneath this shade tree. And yeah, I'm hungry, but man, I just think I'll wait till it cools off, right? Animals do this. Not a lot of commitment. This is why people, training dogs in predatory drive, just spend all of their time with, you know, dogs biting on a freaking sleeve all the time, trying to develop the commitment of this dog in this drive, which naturally isn't very committed. Let's take a look at that as opposed to a lion from a different pride has accidentally stumbled in. Brother, it's 100%. It's 200%. It's right now. It's game on. It don't matter. Right? Alarm, challenge, threat display, engagement are all in play. 100% commitment. No jokes about it. Right? Lot more seriousness going on. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, for example, when I pointed out some of Lee Robinson's dog from American Sentinel Canine. He has a YouTube channel with a lot of dogs that are in this hunt predatory drive, and they play with the sleeve and all this kind of stuff that we see, because he serves as a really good example. And that's why we use examples, so that we can demonstrate what we're talking about. If we're talking about photography and we want to talk about composition, well, then we refer to actual photographs and source material. Same thing with anything we want to learn about. So I'm referencing Lee Robinson from American Sentinel Canine and some of his videos because he has so many of them that accurately show these type of dogs, so that you can go and see for yourself what I'm talking about here. So all of this predatory stuff does not serve... Oh, well, here's one of the things I was saying that you'll notice in a lot of these dogs is the lack of tenacity. There's not a lot of real aggression. It was one of the things that I was noticing in these dogs, and I thought it was kind of strange that my dogs were so aggressive and angry and serious. And like Gypsy was saying, he's like, no, dude, he says your dogs are in defensive drive, and these guys are in play and prey drive. And so you can see it. Not only can you see it there, you can see it on TV shows from the 70s in the example given by the late, great Gypsy Stratton, of the level of commitment and tenacity between these different drives. So again, this has nothing to do with the training. The training that they do is also terrible, accessing a lot of this stuff. This training that you're doing is teaching the dog, is actually lessening the fight drive in the dog, if you can believe this. Everything's a give and take in this universe, man, right? If you want some of this, you got to give up a little of that. That's how everything works in physics, and it just seems to be a universal law. Same thing here. You breed for insane prey drive, right? Well, that means that you're generally not focusing on defensive drive. You're focusing on prey drive. And Lee often says in his videos, look at the insane prey drive in these dogs. Look at the genetics. And he has done, there's an example of breeding dogs for predatory drive. And Lee Robinson has done an absolutely outstanding job of making maniac bite machines. Perfect, ideal dogs for hog hunting or even for some police work and stuff like that. But all of this genetic focus on insane prey drive leads us into our practical, tactical, and legal reasons why we don't want these dogs, or they're not the best choice. I don't want them. They're not the best choice. You're working against the grain of the universe in so many ways when you get these dogs, when you're wanting them for home guardian dogs. And that's mostly what we're looking for, is dogs to keep people out of our house when we're not home, or intruders when we are home, automobile protection and things like that. So that channel offers a wealth of these types of dogs, and you'll notice that they're not real serious, and that's why they play with the sieve. If these dogs were really pissed off at the dude, if this were defensive drive, they wouldn't be caring about that. They're not going to go play with the sleeve. You're going to see a lot of barking and growling and all that kind of stuff. So all of this is working against it, the genetics and the breeding. Then the training, the other thing is so, you know, the legal, tactical and legal things. So what we got going on is we're breeding and training dogs to not run away, to not go and chase shit, right? Where this is the opposite here. That's the tack training. Chasing this stuff, chase, apprehend, and detain is attack training. It is not protection training. And I don't care if there's 10,000 trainers and 100,000 YouTube videos that say that it is. It doesn't make it so. Common sense tells you that it's not. So this is attack training. You're teaching the dog to pull. You're teaching the dog to lunge. You're teaching the dog to satisfy itself, right? It's after the bite. And it's going to get its satisfaction in the bite, not in successfully winning a competition combat. That's not what the dog's getting its rewards from. It's not even its goal. So there's so many reasons why these predatory dogs that have been bred for high prey drive and are being trained in these predatory attack methods and then being peddled off all over the place as protection trains. And Gypsy was right. They will come at me. I mean, I've suffered greatly here. People, false claims with the... I hate to mention this stuff, man, but now I've lost my YouTube channels and I got to hire an attorney. Lee Robinson made all kinds of complaints to my hosting company all over this. This is how sensitive people are to this topic and how committed they are to doing shit the wrong way just because that's the way they've been doing it. And they will gouge your eyes out if you say otherwise. But I stand on what I say. And if you're thinking about this, this stuff should be making quite a bit of sense. And if these guys had any arguments otherwise, they wouldn't, someone impostered other people. Gypsy's wife, one of them, impostered, stole her identity and used it to file a false copyright claim onto YouTube, which ultimately was my third one. I do believe the other two are false as well. I'm waiting to hear. Well, I know for sure that one of the other ones is because Ed Hodes is dead. He's been dead for years. So, so anyway, but this is how serious this topic is to some people and what they will do, right? They will slander and try to hurt people for saying anything other than predatory drive is the answer. But it's not. You're setting your dog up for failure. And and which means you're setting yourself up and your loved ones. See, this the stakes are high here. I don't know about you, man, but my greatest treasures are located in my home. My hard drives with all my documentary photography, all of my black and white work, my journal. I don't have silver and gold and stuff like that, but my wife, you know, all of your and my and everybody's most sacred and cherished possessions and loved ones are located in our home. And if you're falling for this stuff, this attack predatory type stuff, there's a good chance, there's a really good chance that dog is going to fold, is going to fail, because it does not have what it takes, right? They've been doing all this predatory. They have not been exercising the dog in defensive drive and learning, teaching the dog how to handle itself in defensive drive. They've been doing prey. Look at this dog. Look at the genetics, Lee says. Look at this. Look at this dog bite. Bite, bite, bite. Look, we can swing it around. It'll bite, bite, bite. Yeah? But that's hunting. And that's not fighting. And that dog that looks so fantastic hanging off a dog's ear, you would be amazed how fast a dog like that will fold when confronting a human being. And this is high stakes here, and that's why it's important. So that's some of the problems with predatory trained dogs. I would encourage you to spread this message. I might leave this on the free end for people, since this was a YouTube video. I'll get my channel back eventually, and I'm not really tripping out. It's a shame people act like this, but he wasn't able to. As a matter of fact, one of these fake people filed a false claim over here at the hosting company too. But all those failed, because I actually get to talk. Here's the thing with this. So much of this stuff is you're talking to bots and animated things with YouTube and Facebook. It's real hard to... That's why I'm getting an attorney to draft up these letters for me and things and mail them so that we can get this in front of the eyes of actual human beings rather than just bots. But anyway, look at that sunrise coming up over the mountain. All right, so I'm out and about with Trudy here today. Share this with on your social media. It helps out a great deal. And also spread the news what happened to me and my YouTube channel. I mean, not just that, they've been calling the animal control, getting our puppy ads removed from Puppy Finder, fake anonymous complaints of animal abuse. And so we've been getting it from all ends, just like Gypsy told me before he died. He said, dude, they're going to come at you. He was telling me there can't be no light between us, man, because, man, they are going to come at you, and they are going to come at you hard. And I got to say, I've been blogging for 24 years. I've had websites, and this is the first time in 24 years of blogging that I've had anything remotely close to anything like this happen. And so Gypsy was right. So I didn't realize they were so sensitive about this, but you know, that also ought to be a tell to tell you how solid of what I'm saying. You know, like Mr. Lee Robinson, he's the only guy I know for sure who it is that's doing this. Oddly that these other things happen at the same time, but we won't speculate there. But I thought it would be great for me and Lee to do a live stream together and talk about this, because apparently he disagrees with me a great deal. And that's fine. Disagreement is awesome. And having dialogue and debate is awesome. so that we can further our education. And but of course, he's refused to do that because I'm not, he says I'm not really looking for truth, and he's got all these reasons why he won't do that. Probably because he's too busy filing copyright complaints and defamation and slander. Oh, he also wrote on his YouTube channel multiple things, but one of the major ones, he lied, knowingly lied, and slandered me in saying that I rehomed a vicious Corso to a new home, and that without proper evaluating the dog, and that this dog attacked its new owner, and then I blamed the new owner for getting bit. So I'm mentioning all this again because I want to have a voice to say something about it. I know you guys are probably sick of hearing about it, but you're not on the receiving end of it. But also, let me add that I think I'm making a really strong case, and something I'll add to that is how are people responding to what I'm saying? You know, you make a video, or I didn't even make the video. It's just an audio podcast giving commentary where I'm showing you, watch this dog, watch how it's acting. Notice that it's not barking. Notice that it's just pulling. Notice that it's not really serious. Notice that the guy just hit it with a stick. Notice that he just put his hands over the dog's eyes and the dog didn't do anything. Notice that the dog plays with the sleeve when the guy lets go, right? That's all I did. And boy, oh boy, huh? Boy, oh boy, the hounds are raging, huh? Let loose the dogs of war. I sure have, but I think this is important stuff because I don't want my wife getting hurt. I don't want my shit getting ripped off, and I don't want that happening to you either. So that is the problem with predatory bred and trained dogs for home guardian work. There was one other thing I need to mention, and that is the bribery training. I'm trying to cover all the bases here, the problem with it. A dog, so one of the things that criminals know and do all the time is they'll bribe or poison your dog. And a dog in predatory drive and with predatory, see, while they're spending all this time developing bite, 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 we're developing our dogs to fight, fight, fight and not to accept bribes. But the natural state of the mind in the dog is more apt to take the food bribe that has been bred and trained in a predatory way. Dog is less likely to succumb and take a piece of food while it's in defensive drive, just naturally. And then when you add the training on top of it, you got real good solid dogs. So this is pretty unique content. Everything I just told you right now, I've never really heard put in this way on YouTube, personally. So I hope you appreciate it. Please leave a comment below. And consider also becoming a member. Like I said, I will leave this Dogman Underground podcast on the free end to kind of supplement for the YouTube video that was taken down. But consider being a member. I have video training courses for puppies, for adult dogs' obedience. I'm in the process of getting my guard dog training. That'll be made available at some point here in the future. But leave a comment, leave a thumbs up, share this on your social media, and spread the word. All right, everybody, have a great day.